Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's my delight to have you on board with us today for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you right up front, you can join in the dialogue and discussion each day as you see fit, as you have a desire to jump in the discussion. You can do so by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413, get you through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have a discussion, a dialogue together. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is so often said, and multitudes in the world believe this, that somehow, some way we can get involved and use our what is called in some religious denominations, rites and rituals and rules and regulations, and as I call it, some denominational dogma, and resolve issues. We'll never do that. The issues can only be resolved when we look to God, look to the Word of God, found in the Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, the key to being free is to know the Word of God, is to hide the Word of God in our hearts, to use the Word of God as our defense mechanism in challenging the world in the position that they may take on an issue. Then Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." I don't know of any greater statement in all the Bible than to hear the Lord Jesus himself say, "Thy word," speaking of the Word of God, the Bible, is truth. It is not just a little portion of truth, it is the totality of truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, we face the world. Let me encourage you to do so with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, in hand. And memorizing the Word, studying the Word, knowing the Word, allowing the Word of God to direct our footsteps. Ladies and gentlemen, while America's been focused on the midterm elections and the open-in-your-face fraud that's taking place in the state of Florida in particular, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Brenda Snipes, the one that's the supervisor of elections in Broward County, has just admitted that she doesn't have any idea where the case of ballots found in the trunk of a car, she doesn't know where they came from, how they were produced, or what precinct, if any, they came from. It's an amazing thing to me that I think the number is now some 83,000 ballots have appeared. It's also an amazing thing to me that in Arizona and in Georgia and in the three southern portions of Florida, you have the Broward, Palm Beach, Miami-Dade counties that seemingly the only ones that cannot count ballots. But it's an amazing thing to me that some 83,000 ballots have now appeared. And the second thing that's amazing, astronomically amazing, is that in any of the recounts, it's always the Democrat that has an exponential increase in ballots. Have you ever wondered about that? That it's only in the strongholds of the Democrats that there is a find of ballots, and those ballots are always weighted on the side of the Democratic Party. Now, I don't know about you, but that raises grave suspicion in my mind. In fact, as former governor of Florida, Jeb Bush, has already said that Brenda Snipes needs to be removed from her job. She's now considering it, she says. But ladies and gentlemen, while the world, the nation in particular, America, has been focused on the fraud taking place in the our election process, the media has not covered the biblical prophecy that's taking place. And that biblical prophecy is taking place in Israel. Israel. Someone has said, and so rightly so, if you want to know what God is doing prophetically, keep your eyes on Israel. Another one has stated that Israel is God's hour hand on the clock, prophetic clock, and Jerusalem is the minute hand. So if we want to know what God is doing, look at Israel. Israel, ladies and gentlemen, is only a postage stamp in real estate, postage stamp in size, very minuscule and small. But yet Israel is the focus of the world today. The apple of God's eye, Israel, has faced wars and global attention since May 14, 1948, when Israel became a nation after some 2,500 years being in dispersion around the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, Israel is the only nation in the world, in the history of the world, that's ever been reassimilated after it had been dispersed as no nation at all for over 2,500 years. I find that absolutely wonderful. Because you know, ladies and gentlemen, the new nation called Israel, May 14, 1948, is the fulfillment of the prophetic text found in Ezekiel 37. Now, I'm not going to turn to it, but in Ezekiel 37, it's the prophecy of the Valley of Dry Bones, where Ezekiel is told by God that the bones are going to stand up, and they did, and it was the prophetic text pointing to the future day, which was, in fact, May 14, 1948, when Israel came out of the Valley of Dry Bones and muscle and tissue and sinew put on those bones, and Israel became a living nation. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, only God could do that. And as we have said a moment ago, that as our nation has been focused on the fraud that's taking place in the election process, we have failed to watch and understand what God is really doing. What some would call the backstory, I would call the real story, the front story. Today, ladies and gentlemen, the jihadists, known as Hamas, some call them Palestinians, no such thing as a Palestinian, ethnically speaking. There's no such race of people as a Palestinian. It's the land of Palestine, speaking of Israel. But ladies and gentlemen, the jihadists, the Hamas, the Islamic jihadists, all in the Gaza Strip, have been firing rockets over into Israel. In fact, for the past several days, they've averaged about 400 rockets a day going into that little postage stamp called Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the prophecy that we find in the scripture. We'll look at it in a moment, Ezekiel 38 and 39, and Zechariah chapter 12. We find what God is doing in relationship to this little postage stamp called Israel, which the Bible says of the Jewish people, the apple of God's eye. But what would you do, ladies and gentlemen? What should we do as Americans if we're having rockets fired over our boundaries at the rate of 400 and something a day? Of course, with Israel's military mechanism called the Iron Dome, they've had the average of about 120 to 130 of them they've been able to intercept in the air to prevent them from coming into and destroying people in Israel. But ladies and gentlemen, according to the latest report, may I remind us, some 85% of the Palestinians, that's the Muslim jihadists who live in Gaza, approve of Hamas, and they support, some 85% of them, support Hamas firing the rockets into Israel. And what is the purpose for that? There's only one purpose, and that purpose is to kill the Jewish people, to destroy them. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says Palestinian rockets fired at Israeli targets following daily deadly raids. The article in summary says, the recent uptick of violence followed 2 months of fires caused by hundreds of incendiary kites and explosive balloons sent from Gaza, as well as often violent protests by Palestinians along the fence with Israel. Israeli officials have struggled to deal with the blazes set by these incendiary devices and have burned thousands of acres of nature reserve and farmlands. Palestinian militants have launched 460 rockets or mortar bombs across the border after carrying out surprise guided missile attacks Monday on Israeli buses and wounded soldiers, the Israeli military said. Hamas, which has controlled Gaza since 2007, is in charge of these raids, ladies and gentlemen. May I remind us, Israel has been in constant war, constant battle, since its founding, May 14, 1948. I've got a list here of all of them, and I'll not read them all, but just simply give you an overview. The Israeli War of Independence, 1947 through 49. The Six-Day War, June of 1967. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, when Israel was declared a nation, six nations around Israel surrounded it and tried to wipe it out as an infant state. And then not only the Six-Day War in 1967, but in 1973, the Yom Kippur War. And then in 1987 through 93, what's called the First Intifada. It is the large-scale Palestinian uprising against Israel in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. The Second Intifada then was in 2005. It's where huge amounts of violence broke out from the Gaza Strip area. Then in the Gaza War, 2008 to January 2009, and many, many, many others. Ladies and gentlemen, Israel has been in a constant state of war and war readiness since it became a nation, since God brought them back, based on the prophetic text of Ezekiel chapter 37, since God brought them back as a nation. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, Israel is the winner because God is fighting for Israel. May I remind us also, even a Jewish rabbi, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but it's exciting to me when I see a Jewish rabbi that's prophesying some things or making some statements about some things that he doesn't perhaps realize that it's fulfilling biblical prophecy, that which he is saying. The Jewish rabbi is now saying that these wars with Israel and against Israel could lead into the end time biblical war prophesied in the Bible. Is he right? Here is the article. Rabbi warns a biblical end time war in Israel. Over the weekend, Palestinians in Gaza fired hundreds and hundreds of rockets into Israel, and Israel responded with strategic attacks on terrorist camps. It's happened before and likely will happen again. But a prominent rabbi warns that one of these times, it's not going to end easily, because it will be the end times war of Gog and Magog prophesied in the Bible. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a Jewish rabbi making this statement. He said that battle, quote, could be more terrifying and horrifying than anything we have ever imagined, end quote. Quote, he says, unlike unconventional wars, they are the results of politics. The war of Gog and Magog won't be the logical outcome of our actions. It is God, and it's God's way of building up our faith and trust in Him in the final days. He wants us to be ready for anything because Messiah is unlikely any time to come before, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps this rabbi doesn't even know how biblical he really is, because in Ezekiel 38 and 39, it's very, very clear of what God is going to do. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there's coming a day when Russia will lead a five-nation coalition against Israel, and it will lead into a global battle. And I call it an Islamic invasion or an Islamic battle, because, ladies and gentlemen, today the Russian army is made up about 51% Islamics. Ladies and gentlemen, today, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, those nations that will be involved in being led by Russia, a five-nation coalition led by Russia, is where we see the ultimate battle take place between good and evil, between God and Satan. It's a battle that will be led by Russia. And according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, the five nations, let me just give them to you very briefly. The five nations, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, that Russia will lead against Israel. Keep in mind, Israel is the apple of God's eye. Keep in mind, Satan hates Israel and the Jewish people. We'll talk about that later in this broadcast as to why. But one of those nations is Persia. Ladies and gentlemen, that's modern Iran. The second nation listed in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is Ethiopia. That's modern Sudan. The third nation is Libya. That's modern Libya. Gomer, which is a name for Germany. It's modern Germany today. Tomogar is modern Turkey. Ladies and gentlemen, Iran, Sudan, Libya, Germany, and Turkey will eventually align with Russia. And ladies and gentlemen, each of these countries, nations named in Ezekiel 38 and 39, now this is not my list, it's God's list, each of these today are made up and are controlled by Islam. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Angela Merkel just joined with Macron of France, calling for a European army. Listen to what this article says, dated November 13th of 2018. The days where we can unconditionally rely on others are gone, Ms. Merkel said in a speech televised around the continent. That means that we Europeans should take our fate more into our own hands if we want to survive as a European community. Quote, this is Angela Merkel, Chancellor of Germany, says we should work on a vision to create a real European army. Mrs. Merkel said such an army would show the world that there will never again be war between European nations. Ladies and gentlemen, that is her position, and she has no earthly idea that she's absolutely fulfilling biblical prophecy. Because you see, as one writer said, and may I quote, Angela Merkel called for the creation of a real true European army during a speech at the EU ministries on Tuesday. If history is a guide to future events, I'm reading from an article about Merkel's statement, Germany will indeed be the driving force behind the start of World War III, whenever that finally begins. There's just something about the mindset of the German people in Europe that leads them to ward dreams of world domination. They came pretty close in World War I. They came frighteningly close in World War II. And one might well imagine the third time just may be the real charm. And this is a writer talking about the end day events and the potentiality of that coming to fruition in relationship to the German army. Ladies and gentlemen, all we're seeing today, all of this that is taking place, all made up majority of Islam. And it's all with the desire to absolutely destroy the apple of God's eye, the Jewish nation. According to Ezekiel text, God will do battle with Israel for Israel and will destroy Israel's enemies. In fact, let me just give you a little brief overview of the events of Ezekiel 38 and 39 in relationship to the fact that I just stated that it's God that's doing the battle. In chapter 38, verses 9 through 11, and also verses 14 and 15, I'll not read them, but I'll synthesize them for the brevity of time. God says Russia and her allies will come against Israel like a storm. Literally, that is, without any warning. And this is found, ladies and gentlemen, your leisure read Ezekiel 38 and 39. It'll frighten your socks off, number one. Secondly, it caused you to look up, lift up your head, the realization our redemption is drawing nigh. The scripture says that God's going to fight and the battle will come like a storm. That is literally without warning, with fury, with firepower and destruction, like a cloud to cover the land, the scripture says. Literally, it will bring darkness and dread and destruction. And all of Israel will be invaded. The land will be covered with hundreds of thousands of terrorists, jihadists, invaders coming against Israel. Why does God allow this to take place, ladies and gentlemen? Remember, God is the ultimate control of all of the nations. It is God that's in charge of this battle. Some call it the Battle of Gog and Magog. I call it the battle of the invasion of Islam. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the war will take place. It's not a matter of if, it's when. And I think we're seeing now the prophetic stage being set where Germany and Iran and Russia and Syria and Turkey and these nations that are coming together in a coalition, including now Germany, talking about developing a German army again, as they had attempted to have domination of the world in World War I and World War II. But God is in control of the ultimate battle, where there would be an attempt to destroy the little pinhead, the little postage stamp nation called Israel. And in Ezekiel 38 and verse 4, the scripture says, God speaking, I will turn thee back and put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring thee forth. Ezekiel 38 and verse 8, you will be visited, that is summoned. Ezekiel 38, 16, I will bring thee against my land, God speaking. Ezekiel 39, 2, God says, I will turn thee back and will cause thee to come up from the north part and will bring thee upon the mountain of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, the ultimate battle where there will be an attempt to annihilate the nation of Israel will be a battle that will be controlled by God himself, because God is on the throne. And Israel, the apple of God's eye, is not going to be destroyed, because God is going to protect the nation of Israel. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the whole globe, the whole world is focused on that little postage stamp called Israel. There's a desire somehow, some way, to wipe out and destroy the apple of God's eye. We must remember that God's word, ladies and gentlemen, tells us that Israel will be the focus of the world in the last days. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Very interesting. Actually, in 1948, it was a trifecta. The nation Israel was born, and it started the process of the end-time event scenario regarding the national ethnic religious group called Israel. And also the dead language, Hebrew, which was only used in the synagogues, came to be used in everyday life. And number three, in the Qumranian area, the Dead Sea Scrolls started to be discovered. So it was a threefold event in 1948.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. And it's a marvelous wonder when we see God at work like that. Go ahead.
And there's a rabbinical statement saying, when you see the invaders from the north, don your wedding garments. And an Orthodox Jew, many of them would call the thousand-year millennial reign the great Shabbat, the great Sabbath, Sabbath of rest. And Russia, the USSR with Putin, is in the Middle East now with a vengeance. They've never had so much power and strength right at the borders of Israel with ancient Persia, modern-day Iran, and Syria. And they're just right on the borders in close proximity. And the Hamas group has unbelievable amounts of missiles, as well as the Hezbollah group up in the north. So it just seems like it just a match could just ignite the whole area.
All it will take is one spark, just one weapon, just one mortar, just one missile set it off. Because it is ripe, it is ready, it is waiting. Russia is armed, Russia is angry, Russia is aggressive, and Russia is awaiting the opportunity to go in and strike against Israel.
And the defense minister of Israel, who was very conservative, very right-wing, has resigned because he doesn't think Netanyahu is protecting Israel the way he should, with the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of missiles and rockets being fired. Avigdor Lieberman, I believe his name is, if you read that.
You're correct. I've read that. And one of the things that also is taking place, because of the mounting global pressure against Netanyahu to try to make peace. In fact, just recently, some $15 million was transferred in cash to the jihadists in Gaza to try to assuage their anger. And he's doing so to try to prevent war. But as Netanyahu will have to admit himself, and every other strong leader going back in history for the nation of Israel, the only way that you defend and the only way that you have peace is by a strong military. And I want the world to know that small military of Israel is the greatest power on the face of the globe, because God is in it. And I'd be petrified, any nation trying to come against Israel, knowing that God is going to do battle for the nation of Israel. In fact, just go back to 19. Just go back to immediately after Israel became a nation, and where the five or six nations came against Israel, and Israel was just a ragtag army, but they beat the socks off those nations that surrounded them to try to crush them, and it's because God's power.
Yeah, and West Point, I've read, doesn't even study Israel's wars because they're somewhat miraculous.
Yeah. How can you study that? That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. But, you know, I lived in Israel back in 1971 and 72, right on the Lebanese border adjacent to the Mediterranean. I was just 20 on a kibbutz, and now it's changed so much, and we're so much closer to the end time scenario. It takes one's breath away.
Absolutely. In fact, you might have heard the beginning of the broadcast, because if anyone wants to know what God is doing prophetically, theologically, biblically, it's to look
absolutely
at Israel. Keep your eye on Israel.
Also, when it says, he that touches you touches the apple, actually literally the pupil, the most sensitive part of your eye, touches
absolutely
the pupil. And not because they're doing everything right now, because the final stage after the muscles and the bones and the sinews come together, the final breath, the final aspect will be the ruach, the breath, the wind, the spirit. And that'll be the remnant of Israel when all Israel will be saved, Romans 11, I believe. And then, of course, the millennial reign where Israel's the head and not the tail, and Jerusalem is raised up according to Zechariah. And it's an exciting time we live in.
Absolutely. And that portion now you're talking about where the ears will be the head and not the tail, et cetera, in the millennial reign. And that's where Zechariah, the 12th chapter and following, talks about Israel, that little minuscule remnant that shall be left because of the final days of the tribulation. The Antichrist will have destroyed the overwhelming majority of the world society, and in particular, the Jewish people. But that remnant, that minuscule remnant that's left, will recognize Yeshua Messiah and will be saved and brought into the millennial reign with the church age saints. That's a wonderful study.
Yes, amen. And they'll say what Jesus predicted: you will not see me henceforth until you say Baruch haba b'shem Adoshem, blessed are you who comes in the name of the Lord. That remnant will actually say those words, and they'll come through as believers. God
absolutely
bless you.
Absolutely. God bless you. Thank you so much for your call, for your input on this dialogue and discussion today. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're seeing taking place is the fulfillment of Zechariah, the 12th chapter. I just spoke of it in general. Let me read you the first three or four verses of Zechariah chapter 12. Literally speaking, the nation of Israel will be the cup of trembling, the cup of intoxication for the world. The Bible says this: the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretches forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. This is talking about the Creator God. Behold, God speaking, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people around about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, just in the 12th chapter, the term "in that day," "in that day," "in that day" is spoken seven times, and it's speaking of the day of the Lord. It is speaking of the day that God will absolutely take a stand with the nation of Israel, and it'll be the last of the last days. The third verse says, and in that day will I make Jerusalem burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth shall be gathered together against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse and the astonishment, etc., etc. And it goes on to talk about the battle that shall take place in that day. And the scripture says, in the eighth verse, and in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and that is feeble among them. At that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, and as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against the nation of Israel and Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, the final target of the hatred of God on the planet Earth will be the Jewish people in Jerusalem. Even today, we see nations, including America, trying to get rid of the remains of Judeo-Christian values, ethics, and morals and principles. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that God is on the throne and God will win. We need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.